anthem of MPN. When we began to sing it initially, the situation in our country was not as bad as it is. But the reality is on us. When we will pledge allegiance again and again to the Lamb, it doesn't matter what the cost may be. Time has come when we will begin to think beyond religion and embrace the cross and be willing to stand for what we believe. Why are men afraid? Why is nobody talking? Why is nobody resisting the devil? We are afraid of the cost. Now people say, Anato Jombabu Agoko. Time has come when those who are true sons and daughters of the living God, the mighty men of God, to embrace the cross, count the cost, then it makes sense what we preach. This meeting is not for baby Christians, it's for men who are mighty, it's for youth, colleagues of David, son of Jesse, who are mighty. I want to invite to the podium Apostle Aromi Osai. Very emotional about prayer. Pray that God will bless him for being faithful and going beyond himself this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your servant and for the tributary of your grace that has come out of his spirit to encourage us and to empower us to stand in your presence perpetually. We ask that you restore the virtue that came out of him. We ask, O God, that you preserve him. We ask, O God, that you cause your face to shine upon him and be thou gracious unto him, O God. That sweetness of the aroma of grace that oozed out of his spirit to bring ventilation to many of us that are stuffed under the weight of demonic manipulations. I ask, O God, that that fragrance will yet manifest with stronger intensity in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Once again, I appreciate our Father and our Mother in the Lord for the privilege of allowing a boy, a small boy, to stand on this altar. It is such a privilege that I will not forget. After the sessions, my wife will call and say, sir, you ministered, I believe, NCCF conference when my wife was a youth copper. And she was mightily impacted. So she doesn't believe. She still wondering if her husband is the one preaching on your platform. That's the level of intensity right now. It's a privilege that I will always thank you for. Thank you again and again and again. Amen. So I have a topic this morning, the way forward for the church in Nigeria. And because of the crucial nature of this topic, I had to conduct a research. And there are three basic materials that I consulted in terms of statistics, in terms of the position of the Nigerian church in terms of modern day research and statistics. The first material I consulted was the Pew Research Center of Religion and Public Life Project. This was what I extracted from that material. They said the Nigerian church is in the front row seat in the arena of global Christianity. It says we are unquestionably on the cutting edge of global Christian growth. That's what I got from that material. Second material I consulted was the Theological Seminary Center for Study of Global Christianity, CSGC. And this, and also the International Bulletin of Missionary Research. And this is what I extracted from there, that in the middle of this century, 38% of global Christians will be Africans. It's a summary because of the time. According to the studies of Christian population on the African continent, the bulletin says that the population of African Christians has the potential to double over the next 30 years. So clearly the influence of the Nigerian church on the rest of global Christianity will grow exponentially. And if we peep into the vista of prophecy and we look upon the utterances of our great patriarch, Pastor D. Elton, he was the one, I believe, that said that Africa was like a gun and that Nigeria the trigger. And so that's what statistics has revealed, that the potential of African Christianity can multiply exponentially by 30% in the next 30 years. Okay. In view of the above, I also looked upon the material to pick up a snapshot of the state of the Nigerian church vis-a-vis its potentials, the prophecies that have revealed its possibilities, and I found four factors that are worthy of note before we go into the teaching of the Word of God. This is what it reads. It said the Nigerian revival is losing its cutting edge. And this is because of some obvious reasons. One is doctrinal errors in the camp of those pushing the church forward. And as a result, the church is in serious danger of losing sight of the very reason of its existence. Number two, it says we are a struggling church, lacking basic stature in the spirit. It is obvious that the Prince of Persia is blocking our prayers owing to inherent unrighteousness and corruption. Number three, it says the church has lost the credibility it once had in society. The reputation of church leadership has declined, and we have seen an erosion in our Christian heritage. Number four, before we begin the teaching, the journal also said it is now noticeable that a significant segment of the Christian church in this country is gradually but steadily departing from the basic goals of apostolic Christianity. And the church is in danger of losing basic direction. If we crystallize the reading that I just did, we'll have four major reasons for the decline of our spiritual civilization. The first on the list happens to be doctrinal errors, emphasizing something that will not ultimately bring the manifestation of God's expectation. Playing to the gallery, aligning with the spirit of the age to make it more difficult for God to profit. Second aspect of the crystallization has to do with credibility issues. A total collapse of the integrity structure that is built within the framework and painting us in a very bad light to the point where we do not have a voice within our conclave. The third point in the crystallization points to the fact that there is a fast departure from the goals of our faith and a threat of loss of the direction. The way forward for the church in Nigeria, what we are asking about is a quality control mechanism that has the potential of restoring our possibility, the potential of us filling the gap of missionary manpower, the potential of us being able to have a strong, undeniable voice that is consistent with the model of integrity that has been established in the territory. In keeping with the need for this quality control mechanism, there are a few factors that we cannot avoid. Thank God Papa is here. If I make any mistake, he can come and correct. So in view of that, I'm going to unleash the burden that is upon my heart in the most raw fashion. So Papa can come and help us with the alignments subsequently. If we are going to be part, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this is Mighty Men Conference. It's not Discipleship Conference. It's for mighty men. Okay? It's not foundation class. Let's go to the book of Psalms 138. And we'll take the first integer for our quality control process that must be desperately administered to the church of our nation in order for God's rescue intention to begin to find expression. Are you there with me? Psalms 1:3-8. Verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnify thy word above all thy name, with emphasis on all. How many of us still remember the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9, which reads, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you begin to wonder, why is that clause, hallowed be thy name, in that presentation that Jesus made? Because if the clause, if that verse had read, "Our Father which art in heaven," in our current practice of prayer, there would have been no deficiency whatsoever in that verse of scripture. But in addition to "Our Father who is not in Lagos but in heaven," there's an addition: "Hallowed be thy name." The reason is because if you have studied the Old Testament quite diligently, you will stumble on the fact that the names of God, the names that God was given, was an encapsulation of his manifestations. In order for the people of God to have capsules of spiritual realities in their heritage. For instance, if God comes in a generation and he heals people, they give him a name, Jehovah Rapha. So it is in their spiritual archive that God has such an expression. God has such a manifestation. And if a generation should evolve in which the healings of God have become an absent reality, they still know in their archives that there was once upon a time when he was called Rapha by reason of his manifestation. So when God manifests, that his manifestation is encapsulated, is trapped in a test tube by assigning it a name. Is that clear? Right. So when we talk about the names of God, we are talking about the revelations of God. We are talking about the manifestations of God. We are talking about the unveilings of God to generations across the ages. The book of Psalms 138 verse 2, where we read, reveals that God has exalted his word, his utterances, much more than his names. All his names. Indicative of the fact that in God's government system, his words being the instrument of government, his words being the instrument by which God, through which God exercises his authority. And if God does not exercise his authority, he cannot accomplish his divine purpose. Are you here? It happens to be that it's the decrees of God that forms a vessel through which God's authority can be released. And scripture says that he has exalted his word above his name, indicative of the fact that if God should speak, even he himself becomes subject to what he has said. The first recipe for our quagmire is that we must come to a point where we exalt the counsel of God, the word of God, over and above men. A lot of extra scriptural practices that are in the body of Christ today, if you question the people that are responsible for those practices, their trace or their basis of justification for remaining in such practices is traced to a certain wisdom nugget that a principal personality of in the body of Christ functioning in Nigeria made. So most of our wisdom nuggets went forth without apostolic balance. And because of the reputation of that functionary in the body of Christ and the culture of Christianity in Nigeria, where we exalt men more than the word of God, even if you confront this brother, confront this sister with 3-4 scriptures that outlaws such a practice, the person still continues that practice Because his bearing for the practice is tied to a wisdom nugget. As long as there are men that have more stature in our land, much more than the authority of the word of God, which God himself happens to be subject to, there will be no way of bringing regulation to this our household. We are going to have functionaries that are proclaiming the gospel supposedly without any form of reference to the word of God. That's disaster. On its way to happen. Listen to me. The average preacher that is from 40 years and down, the average preacher is not disciple. He can come on stage and talk about the phone call you will receive next week, and everybody shouts, amen. The answer that will come next tomorrow. But he doesn't have the ability, he doesn't even understand the basics of our belief system. Most of what forms an inspiration to him is the utterance of a certain man of stature in the land. If we are talking about bringing quality control, in order for our quality to be restored, there was once upon a time when we had very strong reputation in this landscape, where the sons of the bondwoman will have to employ the sons and the daughters of Jesus into their estate to make sure it is not vandalized. If we want those golden days to come back, then our quest towards quality control must begin with an exaltation of the word of God over and above, as much as we honor our men of stature that have been raised through the thick and thin. If Christianity will be saved, the authority of the word of God must be acknowledged. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. That's why I said, I'm going to be as raw as possible. Our Father will help us with the necessary balance in order for the alignment in appropriate departments to be achieved. Romans chapter 3, quickly. In Romans chapter 3, from verse 3 to 4, Paul says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" And Paul was quick, through inspiration, to bring the answer to that question. He said, "God forbid, yea, let God be true." And what? "Every man be a liar." So if we want to restore quality control in this regard, we will need to frequently consult that statement. Let God be what? True. And let every man be. I know you are. You will not say it. You just let every man be. It's that kind of lack of conviction that brought us here. Take a very good look at the ministries of people that are in their 40s down, and you will find numerous assortments of activities that is not traceable to the apostolic manual. Someone is going to plant a church in Abuja, and then he hoists a form on the internet. So if you want to be a worker in this our new initiative, apply. So 1,000 something hundred people apply. And that's a strategy. That's a strategy that passes for the corrupt kind of setting that we have today. Because his own philosophy for ministry is crowd hunting. Because as long the crowd, from the standpoint of finance, is a digit. Every individual that comes around the corridor is a digit. And then your interpolation in terms of financial capacity is a function of this digit. And so our practice of ministry is drawn from some dynamics that are operational within the spheres of men. Now, such a person that is orchestrating it's only the microphone that stopped. The timer didn't stop alone. Such a man whose model for ministry is the crowd hunt philosophy, where every individual is a digit, is trying to establish a system, and this system is number based. This system is a number based system, just like those of you that did a little mathematics. Okay, let's not bring mathematics into this matter. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Do you still remember that scripture that says, though thy beginning be small, thy later end shall greatly increase? That is the genuine model for ministry. Because it is not the work God is growing, it is you. And when you begin to grow consistent with the expectation of God, the physical thing you are doing will begin to gain dominion, influence. That's the key to influence. God will grow you in stature, and then you rise to become a man that has voice, because you have gone through the rudiments, you have gone through the process. The crowd hunt tactics suppresses the process that is needed to make a man that can become a territorial gatekeeper. Because it brings about carnal success, which is not the same as extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Okay, you are not with me. Because you are not with me, we'll close that matter. Is it that you also use the crowd hunt principle as your ministry model approach, your ministry strategy? The more we wander away from the apostolic order, the more we create systems that are filled with deposits of darkness. That kind of system cannot produce the results that are consistent with the apostolic model. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Can the word of God become a commodity in our midst that no man can contest? As long as we don't have that in place in our civilization, we are existing without a reference. We are on cruise mode, autopilot, and we're not likely to arrive at the destination. Number two,
if the quality control initiative is going to prosper, we must not exalt results above method. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 to 12. There is a slogan in the body of Christ, and this slogan is, you cannot argue with results. Are you helping me? Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. Only a fool argues with results. Please, are you there? Numbers 12. Okay, verse number 7 to 12. My servant Moses. Whoa. Sorry. Numbers 20, verse 7 to 12. Numbers 20. Please, can we rush? Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hands with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Only a fool argues with proof. And Moses, in disobedience, had proof. Water came out. The fact that you can make water come out doesn't mean that the method by which you achieved it is in alignment with God's prescription. It is because we are no longer concerned about methods that people have gone to Ezemo for powers, because it's about a gospel of results. Our ministry paid for a slot on one of the cable platforms available, and I began to teach on cable. The first year of my presence on that platform, I had like 12 invitations to preach in 12 nations. And I went to God and said, hey, you have opened ministry doors for me. And the Lord said, he's not aware that they are doors. If your God is the God of breakthrough and not Jehovah, there are doors that you will enter that they will bring you back paralyzed. There are doors that you will enter that you will now become an active adulterer, because there was no grace backing you up. Moses took the rod. He was instructed to speak to it, but he struck it. Do you know the implication of that? Because Moses was the shadow of the messianic spirit. And if we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53, I will show you how that Moses added to the sufferings of Jesus. He increased the margin of what Jesus will have to pay in order for him to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Because he was the shadow. You know, in the Old Testament, God always advertises his agenda with a shadow picture. Because God speaks in parables. God speaks in complicated. God is an object teacher. So he will illustrate what he wants to do so that those that know where to look will understand the counsel of God. So what Moses did was a delicate matter, because when you go to the book of 1 Corinthians and you begin to read from chapter 10, you will find out that that rock was Christ, and that rock followed them all across the adventure through the wilderness. So this man, in a way that we may not be able to fully theologically establish, Moses had complicated the price tag for redemption by operating apart from God. A possibility has entered into the model. I'm resisting the temptation of going to Isaiah chapter 53. Because that's where we'll see the locus of the sufferings of Christ. You will see bruises. You will see stripes. Let's try. We can't try. There's a matter in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 which we can trace to Moses. There are three questions of redemption in the book of Isaiah 53. Do you still remember? The first one is, who has believed our report? We have a belief matter. The second is, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed? Then you need to pass the first, you need to answer the first question before you can be ushered into the next possibility. To whom, therefore, is the arm of the Lord revealed? The third question is the question of, in verse 8, that says that he was taken from prison and from judgment, who shall declare his generation? So there's a progression here. Before you progress from the believing angle to a point where God has decided to show you the reality of the things he spoke about, that transition has a requirement. And before you transit from being one that is in custody of the up-to-date manifestation of the hand of God into when you become a proclaimer of his kingdom, there is also a protocol that you will have to accomplish. So if we use these three questions as our integers into Isaiah chapter 53, we are bound to discover a certain pattern which there's no time to prosecute. So we'll just keep that one aside for now. Let us remain with the subject matter, which is, there is a grievous need for us to attach results with method. Because, like I said, the justification that many extra scriptural preachers have for their numerous assortment of products, ranging from the spurious to the scandalous, are wisdom nuggets that exist without reference. They are flying statements. Hallelujah. There's no amen again. Let's try that amen again. Yeah. Amen. It has not come to you as a burden that Christianity is dying. If someone gives his life to Christ today, where will we send him? Answer that question. Where will we send the person? What's the hope of the new convert? We are mighty men. We are at the gate already. We are deciding how the future should look like. This is a spiritual ceremony. And a spiritual ceremony is such an event that makes things go on record in the realm of the spirit. We are trying to shape the future. If someone gives his life to Christ today, where will we send him for training? Most of the people fighting men of God on Facebook, on social media, were part of the church for many years, but they were never discipled. So they used the weapons we gave them in our Sunday tonic meeting. The tonics we give on Sunday are the tools, the very tools they are using to fight all the veterans that have labored in the gospel. Has it not occurred to you that in the next 15 years, those kind of people will be the Christians in Nigeria? It has not occurred to you. As long as we do not ensure that the recovery will begin from you seated here today, as long as we do not ensure that, the future is not in view. I've been trying to run away from Isaiah chapter 53. I think somebody is praying for me to go there, because I don't know why I can't. Hey. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us. Let's try. Isaiah 53. Let me try again. If it prospers, who has believed and report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And what that means is, he had master's degrees in suffering. He had mastered suffering. So suffering was no longer part of what can distract him from his mission. It means the circumstances under which he came to fulfill that destiny of atonement was not convenient. It was like a root that sprang forth out of dry ground. Are you here? He says, surely. But he's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It means we didn't understand why it was so. We believe, we saw that indeed it's God that has smited him. Because Jesus died on the cross as a man that was cursed. Every Jew, that was why it was difficult for the brethren going to Emmaus to believe. The way Jesus died confirmed to them that it was not Jesus that was earmarked to bring salvation. Because they said, we thought that it would have been him that would have brought salvation to Israel. He died, the death he died was a death of a man that was cursed. Are you still with me? Okay. But he was wounded. The wounds equal to what? Was because of transgressions. The bruises was because of what? Iniquity. So wounds, transgressions equal wounds. Iniquity, what? Bruises. The punishment for our peace was upon him. And then by the stripes, we are healed. Now, we were supposed to put these things into categories for analysis. But we can't do that this morning. Now, these are the four aspects of payment that Jesus was supposed to make in order for him to satisfy the claims of divine justice. He was supposed to pay heaven's debt with wounds, with the currency of bruises, with the currency of chastisement and with the currency of stripes. These things that happen have spiritual significance. There's a spiritual value that was drawn from these four matters. Are you here? Okay. Let's go to verse 10. After the bruises, after the chastisement, after the wounds, after the stripes, verse 10 says there was still another credit that still had to be filled up. Meanwhile, bruises had already gone, stripes had gone, wounds had gone, chastisements are gone, and the Bible says, yet. Huh? Are you there? What is yet? I want a very simple meaning of yet. In addition, it means that there was an addition. Yet, it pleased, this addition was the Lord himself that had to do it to fill up that gap. Yet, it did what? It pleased the Lord to bruise it. So after the stripes were taken, the wounds were taken, the chastisement was taken, and it was all converted to spiritual currency in the balances of justice, judgment, and equity in heaven, the judge still saw a gap. My brother, where did that gap come from? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him, what? To grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Somebody say addition. Let me still show you addition. This addition matter. Can you go to the book of John quickly? John. Who is there in John? Every theologian that is present here, please follow me as we go to John. It's a theological matter. In John chapter 20. Are you there? Oh, you are not there. Now. The book of John is a thesis. And I'd like us to understand it quickly. The book of John is what? It's a thesis. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, was the Logos, was a personality who was the compendium of the thoughts of God, of the wisdoms of God, of the purposes of God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Because the entire book of John was written to reveal who the Word of God, that person in the Godhead, who is called the Word of God, who he really is. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's an attempt here to understand who the Word of God is from the things he has made. And that attempt was futile. So the research scope had to be reduced. In him was what? Life. So the next research plane was going to be on the basis of his life. And that's why the book of John happens to be the book of life. The book of Matthew. In Matthew, Jesus is seen as a king. In Mark, Jesus is seen as a slave. In Luke, Jesus is seen as the representative. But in John, Jesus is seen as the custodian of the divine life. And it was from that plane that this research was conducted. Are you here? So having understood the introduction, let us go to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, we have a worthy conclusion for that robust introduction that was made. verse 30. Many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Excuse me. Can you stop that?
Yes.
And many other things, signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. I think somebody is concluding a book here. And he's saying that there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not part of the compilation of what? This book. He said these that are written, the purpose for which, the ones that are captured, the reason why they were captured, is so that you might believe that Jesus is what? You are not with me. Jesus is what?
The Christ.
The Son of the living God. And that in believing, he might have the same life. Not same life. Through his name. This is the conclusion of the book. Guess what? John chapter 21 was in the Bible. John chapter 21 was an addition. It was added. Why? Because Peter went fishing. Peter backslid. That is not part of the compendium. The compendium ended with a summary. And many signs did Jesus that are not included in this book. The ones that are written is for the benefit of you. Such that if you believe, you will not have life through his name. Meanwhile, the premise upon which the research was done was life. Not clear? Then after this, Peter backslides. And Jesus had to do something very powerful to redeem his apostle that was going out of line. Are you with me? That was when he went for fishing and Jesus showed up and said, "Do you love me more than this?" It was not a new doctrine Jesus came to bring in chapter 21. It was a rescue strategy. Do you realize, are you with me? You are not with me. Do you realize that the law was added? The law itself was what? Oh, you are not with me. So let's leave it. Yes. All right. It's time for me to... Let's try again one more time. I'm asking you a question. I want to provoke you to reason in the Bible. Can we reason? Is it a taboo to reason in the Bible? I said, do you realize that the law was added? The law was not part of God's original program. But circumstances made God to add it as a schoolmaster. That's the same way chapter 21 was added. Because somebody backslid. That's the same way some suffering probably was added. Because Moses... Could it be that Boko Haram was added? Could it be that bandits were added? That's the question I want to leave with you today. Is this as a result of a departure? Is this an addition? Because when the great patriarch Pa'etim prophesied, he did not speak about Boko Haram. Boko Haram was not in the prophetic vista. It was corruption. And we have seen all the shades of corruption even before this time. It seems to me that headsmen were added. There's an inaccuracy that was obtainable in the house of God that it became almost impossible for God, considering his righteous nature, not to allow an addition. I speak in parables. Finally, let me read a scripture to us. So the second point I just made is that results must not be exalted
beyond the method. The nature of the result is consistent with the method that was used to get it. When doctor was preaching this morning, I was trembling because he made a strange statement that I've never heard any preacher make. And the strange statement is about the high places. I don't want to labor on the burden I got from that statement. High places. These are aberrations. These are existences that are born out of error. And what fills such a sanctuary is Satan. Because the alignments in such a high place doesn't mirror the dimensions of God. So God cannot come and fill that temple. You see, the reason why Moses was instructed to ensure that he builds the tabernacle according to the pattern that he saw in the mount is because if he so builds it, it will mirror dimensions that are in heaven. And it is what fills those things in heaven that will fill what he has built. Are you here? If you build something that is in error, in the spirit there is nothing called error per se. Because whereas it fails to mirror God's dimensions, it will mirror some other dimension in the realm. And it is the dimension that it mirrors that comes to fill it. So the proof of alignment is what is filling it. Are you here? Okay, if the priesthood requires that 7 Bibles are buried, the inspiration that is running that show is an inspiration that is consistent with the reality that was venerated on the strength of the image that was planted. It mirrored its dimension. So it is that reality that is powering that high place. And the high place can have an assembly as ending its long name. So these dimensions of priesthood are practically obtainable within our context because of our failure to uphold the standards of quality control. What? I will read one scripture and try to explain it. And then I will sit down. In the book of Luke chapter 1 verse, let me get the verse so that I don't quote out of accurate reference. Yes, in the book of Luke chapter 1 from verse 5 to verse 17, the prophecy about the conception of John the Baptist was adequately articulated. John the Baptist was given the calling of a way maker even before he was formed in the womb. John the Baptist, the utensils with which he would complete his witness was also added to the prophetic utterances that came. The Bible revealed that he would go before him in the spirit and the power of what? Of Elijah the prophet. So we have two matters here. First matter is spirit. Second matter is power. Is that clear? Oh, you are not here. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we see the same thing. And ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the spirit is come upon you. So there's this compatibility between power and death. And in order for John to fulfill his witness, he had to operate in both dimensions, spirit and power. Unfortunately, in the book of John chapter 10, I believe verse 41, the Bible says John did no miracles. Even though it was obvious that John operated in the spirit of Elijah. Even his dress code was a product of inspiration. He modeled the spirit of Elijah adequately. But unfortunately, his witness was not complete because the power did not accompany what? His ministry.
Do you know the implication of that? Okay. Do you still remember when Jesus was up rebuking cities? And he rebuked Bethsaida, forgetting that three of his disciples came from there. He rebuked Chorazin, and he said, if the miracles that were done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented, what? In sackcloth and ashes. So now that John had no miracles, he had his witness was not complete. Do you know that there were people that would have been added to the Lord on the account of John if he operated in power? His witness was insufficient. Are you with me? Okay, you didn't get that. Okay, let's leave it. Let's leave. You see, the secret things belong to God. The one, if you don't know it today, maybe in 25 years' time, God might be merciful. He can say, okay, this thing belongs to me. The reason why you can't get it belongs to God. It's not yet revealed. So we will not struggle to insist that you understand. No. It is not yet revealed. Let's leave that matter. Let's go to... Are you with me? Luke chapter 9 is my scripture. But I had to follow that part so that you will... When I finish saying what I want to say, you will get it. And if you don't get it, the day the Lord intends, maybe 5 years from today, when you may be in the shower, then the thing will now drop. So we are not under pressure for you to get all. In the book of... Stay with me. You are distracted. In the book of Luke chapter 9, from verse 52. You know it was spirit and... So we queried power in the life of John the Baptist and discovered that John the Baptist did not model the power dimensions of Elijah. Meaning that his witness was insufficient. The things that God was hoping to achieve through his ordination were not fully accomplished because he shut down a particular tributary that was supposed to be an addition to his witness. Is that clear? Okay. Luke, are you there in Luke? Chapter 9? Because this is where my point is. The other one was just to make my point meaningful. Because if you read from verse 52, you will not understand the context. 51, quickly. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to where? Jerusalem. Next verse. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, we doubt that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did. Because our denominator is Elijah. Elijah. Because John was to go in the spirit and the power of what? Elijah. And John operated in the spirit of Elijah. He didn't operate in the power of Elijah. And so his witness was insufficient. It was obvious that Jesus taught them how to call down fire from heaven. And they were looking for an opportunity to exercise this power that God has given them. Based on the things that Jesus discussed with them, that his journey to Jerusalem was so that he could pay the ultimate sacrifice. They said, wait a minute. Is this situation not convenient for us to... You are already going. Is this not a right situation for us to test this ability to call down what? Fire from heaven and consume? What was Jesus' response? Hey. Oh my God. The first thing Jesus did was that he talked to them with his face first. Verse 52, 55. He talked to them with his face first. Luke chapter 9, verse what? 55. He turned. That was the first thing that he did. Probably opened his eyes wide and looked at them. He turned first. And then he rebuked them. Why? And said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. What he's querying here is spirit. You know, we queried power in John the Baptist. We are querying spirit now. Are you here? You are not here. Now, let me, it's obvious that the things that are revealed, they belong to God. It is possible for you to have the Holy Ghost, and you have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, like the gift of word of knowledge, it's possible for me to pick that Reverend has money in his pocket through the gift of word of knowledge, and probably pick even the amount. Right? In the level that our Father and the Lord is operating now, there are things that God will reveal to him, not because of any need for disclosure. It's just part of the realities that are around that kind of rank. Are you understanding? But it is possible, having known that you have 5,000, and I'll add to the Lord. I add and say, that 5,000, the Lord is in need of 5,000. Because I know that it was supernatural. You know that you didn't tell me you came with 5,000, and the preacher was able to pick that. You had 5,000, and then the preacher added that. God wants your 5,000. What has happened here is that someone has used the Holy Ghost to steal. See, stay with me. You are not with me. Okay. Let me try again. The rebuke Jesus gave them, are you with me? It's because they were trying to accomplish something using Holy Ghost power, but they did not want to be submitted to Holy Ghost nature. There's something called Holy Ghost power and something called Holy Ghost nature. And a minister of the gospel is worthy of a good rebuke if he uses Holy Ghost influence to accomplish something that is not Holy Ghost nature. He has put God in a bad light, and the person will perceive God to be an oppressor, a swindler, a thief, because he doesn't know what spirit, he doesn't understand the nature of the spirit that is at work on his life. So what we have seen in many quarters, genuine grace, but the way it is administered is mingled with the dynamics of the flesh. And as such, God is held in a bad light. Are you with me? The third thing we need to add to this quality control program is what Jesus did. He queried what? The Spirit. He queried the Spirit. The reason why you wanted to do this is because you don't know the Spirit that empowers you. The reason why you want to accomplish that is because you don't know the Spirit that makes the gift available. You don't understand his nature. You have not walked with him. You have not sat under his government sufficient for you to understand the nature of the Spirit that is providing this gift. So it is possible to model God in a wrong way by administering a gift in such a way that is not consistent with the nature of the Spirit. doctor said something this morning. He said, when he probed to find out the pastor that buried 7 Bibles as a token of deliverance, the arena that he provides leadership for is filled up. Because the average believer has not been taught to know the nature of the Spirit. The average believer knows the gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't know the nature of the Spirit. That is, there is a big hole in our armor. Just like Goliath had a hole, and it was from the hole in his armor that he was brought down. There is a hole in our armor. The reason why falsehood can thrive and attack so many people, there is a hole in our armor. Our basic sense of discernment has not been developed because our exposure to the good word of God right now has become a scarce commodity. So we cannot overemphasize the need for discipleship. That's where I'm going. Any system that we are building without discipleship is going to collapse. When they employed us in the oil industry, I think we did training for 3 months. Professionals, specialists, consultants in the industry will come and bring perspective on various issues, and we can ask them all kinds of questions. We came out of this training 3 months later because our training, our discipline was divergent. Different fields. But irrespective of whether you are an accountant and you'll be working in the accounting department, you must understand the general business that is going on here. So, 3 months. We came out of those meetings calibrated. And the time we're posted out to different places, you would think we traveled abroad. It was just 3 months of calibration. There is a fatal lack in our capacity building systems that has resulted in a mighty hole in our armor. We can identify the gifts of the Spirit when they are in operation, but we cannot identify whether they were administered consistent with the nature of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason for the crowd. That's the reason for deception is going to thrive as long as we do nothing about discipleship. We build platforms for diviners, people operating under the spirit of divination, and they are such a power to reckon with in the current state of the Nigerian church. Can we pray? Can we pray? Is it possible? Before we pray, you must understand one thing, that the recovery must begin with you. You, in this conference, accept that I will not be fake first. Because you must be a fake person, a fake believer, to be pastored by a fake pastor. There is compatibility. An LG remote control cannot be used to manipulate a Samsung TV. There must be some ground of compatibility. So, I'm not so sympathetic when you come up with a story that you were a victim of the wrong pastor. The first thing is, you must accept that you are fake first. If not, let's spend time on other people that have not gone to shrines. Let's spend, not your time. Except you accept that me, I am fake. Then, we can now consider this. You need to be a fake man. You know this 419 they do. Go and bring, there's something here. Go and bring all your money. If you don't have greed, that spare won't work on you. So, can we agree in this conference that the recovery will begin? someone runs to the altar of a genuine man of God and says, spend 136 million in a shrine. And as the person is running to a genuine man of God, he's going there for deliverance. He's not hoping that if he's delivered, then he will bring 30 million to begin to push the real thing. It's convenient for us to push satanic altars. Before you start, just in case your 5,000 entered a wrong place, you have promoted something that will chain, put fetters on the feet of your children. So before you start, take it as a responsibility that the recovery must begin. If I will spend one naira, let me spend it in the ministry of a man that is genuinely serving God. If I will spend 1 million, if I will spend 100 million. Oh, we don't know how we aid some of these things. The prayer I want you to pray is the prayer of men. That you take responsibility. You are not going to fund a shrine. As for you and your house, no one will visit a shrine. If you have a pastoral platform, you take time to preach on divination so that the eyes of the people are open, and when they see where divination is practiced, they say, oh, discipleship. Have you ever taught on witchcraft before? These are the symptoms of witchcraft. This is what makes a pastor toxic. I'm into youth discipleship, and I've been into it for 18 years. I've gone around the campuses in Nigeria, apart from a handful, six times. Six times in 18 years. So I know what I contend with. In the youth layer, you would think the demons are in the bush. You would think the most notorious people are the senators stealing money. You are not aware of what is coming up. You are not aware. Now, can we now rise up and pray? The prayer is a very strong prayer. Maybe we'll give Papa for balance, because I spoke out of my body. I've been to Sokoto. I've been to Zamfara. I've been everywhere there are young people. I've been there. Sometimes I slept in Ahmadu Bello University hostel as a staff in the oil industry. I slept there like 7, 8, let's say like 10 times. In Iksa, in Suleiman, in Akenzwa. Because we are not... Anywhere night meets you, you look for. And tomorrow you wake up with your Bible. Just so that the urgency of discipleship that God was laying upon our hearts, we could execute that mission. And I met people that came out of temples. People that began to hear frequencies from the second heavens just because they visited somewhere and put money on the altar. Environmental sanitation had to be declared to help people that were already polluted. And something was growing that they never knew. The recovery must begin with you. That's why we had to sing that hymn. You have pledged. Part of the execution of that pledge is to accept that you are not going to be fake yourself. Right? I'm not going to be fake. Number two, accept that if what breakthrough means is to become diabolical, I don't want breakthrough. Number three, if you have identified several people that are operating with that level of civilization, you will keep them at arm's length. Because sometimes when we see your pictures on Facebook, and Ezemo is on the left, there's confusion. It's quite difficult to understand what is happening. Can we? The way I felt it is how I preached it to. Can we make some dedications to God and say, Lord, the recovery will begin with me. Just like Joshua said, as for me and my house. This is where it's going to start. It begins with me. I'm not going to support any platform that is powered by a lying spirit. You are not praying. As you pray, I'll be giving you the prayer points. I'm not going to support any platform that is powered by a lying spirit. I will not fund. I will not be present there. Quality control must be restored. And this is the decision of mighty men. That in the Congress of Mighty Men in 2021, it was agreed that the shrines must fall. It was agreed that we were going to be committed to partnering financially with righteous men, with godly men, running with mandates that are pure from heaven. Was agreed on that great day that there was a deliberate advancement against falsehood in the land, false doctrine, false practices, extra scriptural practices. We have decided that only that has the seal of God will prosper in the Nigerian church.
Go ahead and pray. I refuse to be fake. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. To be fake. Today I bring repentance before the Lord. If I have supported a shrine, whether with my money, whether with my words, by my thoughts, in whatever form I have been and accomplished, I'm not seeing somebody praying. Open your mouth and pray like a mighty man. Today, oh Lord, I ask for your mercy. Are you praying or you're chewing your mouth? Anywhere I have entangled myself with any of such altars, church. I am supported by will, by words, by my comments on Facebook, by my comments on Twitter, by my comments on Instagram. By sharing their meetings, by tagging others, and by so doing, are we praying? I have entangled myself, I have tied myself with those native doctors, called pastors. Try. I have introduced my brother, introduced my sister, introduced my friend to such places. To say, oh Lord, I declare that I am sorry, I pray repentance. Have mercy upon me. Deliver me from every such entanglement.
Captives.
Go ahead and pray.
In the mighty name of Jesus, let every spell that has come upon us by the reason of emotional contact and attachment to altars that we had no business be broken now in the name of Jesus. Let our spiritual eyes open. God, let our hands and feet be disentangled from those places. Lord, let any judgment, let things that have begun to happen the wrong way because of our deviations now be reversed in the name of Jesus. Lord, please hear me, I pray. Show us mercy. For some were caught in the web because of ignorance. The trap caught them. Maybe because of our greed, we became captives, lawful captives. So Lord, show us mercy. I come as a priest with the blood of Jesus, seeking atonement for all, that Lord, we may be reconciled back to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I come against the record of the devil in the books, the accuser of the brethren who are demanding justice, that we deserve the punishment for the direction that we have gone. Lord, I pray and say, oh God, these are your children. Once they submitted to you, they asked for mercy. Lord, you gave them the authority to become your children. But in foolishness, they followed sentiments and not your spirit. So, Lord, we are very sorry. Lord, we are very, very sorry. We are very sorry. Lord, we are very sorry. Some still don't get it. Father, let our eyes be opened very fast that we may be delivered. And let the seed we have sown in the wrong places, oh God, not be held against us. Father, we command that those seed will now stop speaking against us. Thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for your